Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
A little bit different start to the show today, but why not? It's Henry Mancini's birthday. He wrote the Pink Panther theme and this song, Peter Gunn. Good morning, everybody. 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Adam Snow, County Commissioner, is with me today. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Did you play an instrument back in the day when you were a young man?
My mom taught piano for a long, long time. Yeah. And so I can play the piano a little.
Yeah?
I get frustrated when I try and learn new songs. And so I go back to the songs I really like and that I know. And I can really play Canon and D really well. Nice. And there's a few others. And I play the guitar.
If you sat down at a piano wanted to entertain a crowd, like a sing-along thing, can you play any like sing-along stuff? And
not on the piano.
No? Okay. But guitar you can.
On the guitar I've got some songs I could play, yeah.
Okay. All right. Did you learn Stairway to Heaven? Was that your first one?
It honestly wasn't because, no.
That's kind of a guitar thing.
It is.
You got to learn that.
I'm a country guy, so I know mostly country. If you know country songs, I can play along.
Okay. You got some George Strait there all queued up and ready to go?
I do have some George Strait. Right. I can play Troubadour real well.
Nice. Check Yes or No. Oh, yeah. The Chair, one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right. That's cool. I actually tried guitar for a long time. I couldn't make my fingers synced together. And so I tried bass guitar with only 4 strings, thinking it would be easier. I still couldn't really do very good. I was okay on bass guitar, but I'm an old sax player. We play one note at a time. And so you guitar and piano guy, you're playing like 8 notes at a time or whatever.
Yeah, but you've got like 30 valves on that sax.
Yeah, but it's one note at a time. It might be fast notes, but it's one note at a time. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. So
I played the sax in 4th grade.
Okay.
Because the band teacher played the Star Wars theme, and I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I never learned the Star Wars theme, but I thought it was cool, so I did the sax 1 year.
When sax players in high school, you start listening to all this cool saxophone stuff, and you learn to play certain songs, like the Pink Panther theme, which I have queued up here. I'll maybe play in a little while, and some of those. And 80s was kind of a glory time for saxophones, because a lot of the pop music had sax solos in it. That was before guitar solos were really big. And so Careless Whisper and some of those had a lot of saxophone music. So I love saxophone, but I really probably can't play anymore. A couple of years ago, somebody surprised me and rented a saxophone for me to use on my birthday. They thought that would be really cool. I couldn't hardly do anything. I could play a couple of the old Pep Band songs from high school. That was about it.
There you go. You know, if you hadn't told us, Andy, we wouldn't have known. We could have just all thought that you were just this master sax player right now.
It's been a while, unfortunately. Yeah, lost a touch, but... Adam is here to talk about the county a little bit. And, hey, how about the county fair going on right now?
Yeah.
Well, not right this minute, but starting at 4 o'clock this evening, going on through Saturday. You had the county fair parade last night. It was so funny. I'm on social media last night, and all these people are like, there's a parade. What's that for?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean, what's that for? It's a fair parade. I guess people didn't. I don't know. We didn't get word out enough, or what?
But. You know what? I will say, professionally, as a commissioner, for the 6 years I worked on the Hill for Congress, the campaigns that I've run, just politically, and it's true for the fair as well. There is no such thing as. You know, people will always say, well, I didn't hear about it. We did social media. We did billboards. We did, radio.
He was on the radio,
Fox News. He was on this. Well, not when I was watching. Okay. Well, we do the best we can. I saw some of those same posts. We advertised the fair as much, or the parade last night, as much as we possibly could. And it's been a long time that we've done this, the Monday of fair week. And so I'm sorry for the people that were inconvenienced on that. But for the hundreds and hundreds of people that came out to enjoy it, glad they had a good time.
I even saw a couple of people like, this is for Cotton Days, which is in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
no, it's not for Cotton Days. No,
not quite there yet.
Yeah. So
same route, though.
But you were in the parade, correct?
I was.
Did you throw candy and stuff, or were you?
We do. We throw candy. Okay. It's the commissioners and the sheriff. We've got the sheriff's office has a Hummer that they used to use for search and rescue, and that they still have. And so we look really cool. And I don't think anybody cares that we're there, but they love seeing the sheriff.
Sheriff, oh, Nate Brooksby, yeah, and the candy.
Now,
did you? I learned this when I first got this job. We started doing parades with the KDXU Mobile, which is no longer, but you've got to pace yourself with the candy throwing.
You do.
Because if you throw a bunch right at the beginning, you're not going to have any at the end, and there's a lot of kids at the end.
There are. So I'm going to say this, and especially because he's in St. Louis at a behavioral health conference right now, so Commissioner Almquist is not listening to this.
Okay.
But he and I have a different methodology on throwing parade candy.
Okay.
You're not trying to feed these kids until the end of time. And usually we're fairly early in the parade, and so there's a long line of cars and floats behind us that will also throw candies and goodies to the kids. Mm-hmm. So I throw some, right? You're going to get some candy, knowing you're going to get a lot more by the end of this.
Sure.
Commissioner Almquist will double fist it. And he will empty the bin, and so we give him his own bin. When you're done, Gil, you're done. This is my, don't come and start raiding.
Yeah, you can't have mine.
Yeah, no, he raids mine as well. So last night we ended up with a lot more candy left over than we normally do because he's at a conference in St. Louis. So
you're also, you know, in where we live, you probably don't want to throw a ton of chocolate because it tends to melt. So I had a guest 1 year come with me right in the KDXU car. They were throwing candy at kids, not two kids, but at kids. And I said, I think you just hit a 3-year-old. And they're like, oh, did I? All right, score a point. And he was marking.
I will say that it is fun. What do they call them? The lollipops.
The dum-dums?
Yeah, well, but the bigger ones.
The Tootsie Pops.
Tootsie Pops, yeah. Those you can, so you'll get a dad who's sitting in the back on a lawn chair, or a grandpa or grandma sitting on the, you know, back there a little ways. I reserve those off to the side so I try and toss them. And some people have targets that they put on. And so,
oh, really?
Tootsie Pops and Starbursts. They have Starburst, a little bit of weight. You can kind of get, you can hook them almost like you're skipping a rock, and you can, and so it is fun to try and aim it and get it in there. Or we tell the kids to open their bags or their buckets and let me see if I can shoot it into the bucket.
What are, you know, the parade obviously celebrating County Fair has been moved to the spring. I had a lot of people say, I went to the fair a few years ago. It was too hot. Well, it was too hot a few years ago. It was in August few years ago. We're in April now, and it's actually, the weather's been amazing. A little bit of sprinkles last night, but nothing serious.
It was beautiful. The sprinkles had all long since gone last night for the fair, for the parade. Yeah, I don't know why they picked August years and years ago. That is the worst month possible. I mean, you'd be better to do it in January.
Yeah.
But we moved it to April. It's perfect weather. It's going to be great this week. Come out, enjoy the fair. Take the kids on the rides. I got to judge some of the submissions from the community for baked goods and hand goods and paintings and quilts and all the things that the 4-H and FFA do things. And so I got to go, and we always do a commissioner's choice and go and peruse. Just, man, we have some talented people in this community.
Oh, yeah, I agree, yeah.
I mean, really incredible stuff that is done, and it's really cool. So don't just go see the Demolition Derby. Go peruse the rest of the stuff that your admission gets you into, and have a fun time. Take the family. You'll love it.
My dad is 88. He has taken up painting in the last year or two. He doesn't think he's good. He says, I'm terrible. This sucks. This is all. Well, he didn't say suck, but this is terrible. I'm awful. But he's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I said, you ought to enter the county fair. He says, nah, I got no chance of winning anything. Now, are there age categories in these types of things? Like if, For maybe a professional artist, his stuff is okay. But for an 88-year-old new artist, he's amazing. So I'm thinking he could probably win something.
I'm not gonna answer on the age because I don't know. There's obviously categories. I don't know if they break it out by age as well within those categories. I will say that anybody who wants to submit something, obviously it's too late this year, but for next year, they have what's called the premium bank, and everybody who submits wins something. You will win money. Now, it may not be a ton, but you will get something for your submission. It's so that we can encourage people to, kind of like your dad, I'm not going to win, so I don't want to submit. Well, no, we want to submit those because, again, it's something cool that people can go see. It's in the Harmony Building, and it fills the entire Harmony Building. So encourage your dad to submit next year, and I'll try and I'll find out about the age.
Okay.
The age category.
Somehow the art gene skipped a generation, because my daughter is a very talented artist. My dad, I think, and my mom were both really talented artists. I can't draw. I mess up stick figures. I mean, that's, you know. Yeah.
I'm with you. My grandma she's passed away now, but she was a phenomenal painter, did beautiful landscapes, which are my favorite. My mom is pretty decent, not so much at painting, but she can draw, and she does lace, tatting, amazing stuff there. I can't draw to save my life. Yeah, I can't paint, and I always think I can. Anytime I've tried to paint, my goodness, it couldn't look worse. You know, and in my mind, I have this, you know, you've got a picture of Zion behind you. In my mind, I'm like, I could paint that. Given enough time, and if I can look at it, I could paint it. Not even close. No. It would look like a gray and brown blob, like somebody got heavy cataracts.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My daughters are both phenomenal artists.
So. My wife wanted to take an art class with me. I'm like, why would I take an art class? She's like, you've never tried. I said, oh, I have tried, and it's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even color within the lines. They give me a coloring book. It's just not me.
That is bad, Andy. I could probably color within the lines, I think.
You think you can, and then you get trying to do the details, and you go out of the line. You're like, oh, man, and it happens.
That's good. That's a fair point. I'm not going to color because I don't want to try.
I went to kindergarten myself, of course, back in the day, and then I went with each one of my kids. I went in one day a week and helped the kids learn how to read and stuff. And sometimes they called them centers. They would where you would give you a project, and you had to work on a project, and I would help with centers. And probably most, I would say 90% of the kindergarten kids were better at art than they already. So, we have, did you get permission to talk about this?
Or I did.
Did, okay.
Yeah.
We have actually a kind of a big deal coming up.
We do.
Tell people about it?
Yeah, next Monday. So some people may remember, although I doubt, unless you're kind of into the policy like I am, that about 8 years ago we had a field hearing of Congress, which Congress does from time to time. They'll take a committee from D.C. out to, you know, the members of the committee, the sitting members of Congress and the staff, out to a location,
right?
To better understand the
issue. Like a field trip, kind of. Only these are big lawmakers. These are important people.
Yeah, this isn't just let's go take a look at it. So they hold what's called field hearings, and these are recorded. It's just, if you ever watch C-SPAN or on the news, and you see people testifying in the committee rooms in Congress back in D.C., it's the same thing. It's just take out the room. That's the only difference of what's going on. So there will be a field hearing of the Natural Resources Committee next Monday here, and it will be discussing numerous issues. It's Natural Resource Committee, so obviously it's land use, federal land management.
Water,
and specifically this one is on the Northern Corridor.
Okay.
And the issues that we have, and we've discussed that before. Your listeners have certainly heard us talk about the Northern Corridor and the lawsuit that we're in right now, and in the state and the county. And so this is them coming out, and I'll be testifying as well as a few others.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll take questions and start getting grilled by the members of Congress that come.
Talk about tortoises a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll certainly talk about tortoises.
Desert tortoises.
And then we'll probably do, we'll hopefully have some time to get them out on the ground and take a look at, you know, actually where the route might be, or a vantage point that we could see it and really understand what the desert reserve is, what the county traded to try and get this road through, even though Congress has already, and honestly, that's one of the impetus behind them coming out, is that Congress passed this in 2009. President Obama signed it. It was under a Democrat majority. Harry Reid was the majority leader of the Senate at the time. We got this passed. Congress said there shall be a road, and it directs the secretary to identify one or more alternative routes for a northern corridor, working with the county and the St. George City and UDOT to identify those routes. They didn't. They had 3 years to do it. They didn't. We applied. We got the route designation when President Trump was in. So even long after the three-year timeline had, and this is law. This isn't like, hey, if you'd like to. when Congress says, the secretary, meaning the Secretary of the Interior, or in this case the Bureau of Land Management, which is in the Department of the Interior, the secretary shall, that's not an option. The secretary shall do this. You will. Yeah. And they didn't. And so we applied, and then we got sued on, and now they're reanalyzing whether this is going to whether they're going to allow us to continue moving forward with the road. In my opinion, this is a complete political job from people back in D.C. It's not the people here locally, but the people back in D.C. And we were sued by a local group, environmental group here, and that's what caused the all of this to happen. And so, but there have been even members of the administration that have said, well, Congress just doesn't understand our policies. Well, no, Congress, law trumps policy.
Yeah, it does.
And we don't really care about your policy compared to what we, the people of the United States, through our representatives, have said this is going to happen. So it's a massive waste of time, a massive waste of tons of money, millions of dollars in a lawsuit, for a road that will eventually go in. But how much are we going to drag our feet and put the people through the ringer first?
Do you know who's coming? Who's coming next Monday?
I do know that Congressman Curtis, Congresswoman Malloy, Congressman Moore are coming. I'm not sure if anybody else from the committee might be coming, and then all the committee staff, obviously the people that do the recordings, the minutes, there's each member of Congress in the Senate or House has their own member staff or personal staff, and then they have committee staff, and so the committee staff will come, and then probably some of the member staff as well, and for each one of those.
So you've been back there. You know the nuts. I know it's a stupid question, but so do they fly commercial? Do they? Mm-hmm. And is there like a limo waiting here for them, or a van, or how's that all going to work?
Yes. So not a limo. They will fly commercial almost always. They don't fly military unless they're going to somewhere. You're flying to Jordan or Oman or something like that. Then maybe if it's a higher risk area, you're flying into an Air Force base, then you can. But no, they'll fly commercial, just back in coach with everybody else. And you may have sat next to a member of Congress and didn't realize it because they put the AirPods in and they've been reading bills or sleeping or whatever they've been doing on the plane. And then and when they get here, we have vehicles waiting for them just to expedite the process. So they don't have to go and rent a car from Enterprise and move a. We can move the process forward a little bit. So their personal staff handles all those arrangements.
Okay. Interesting. They'll be here next Monday. Probably, are they going to fly in Monday morning, or do you think Sunday night? Or
I'm not sure on their travel arrangement. I know we start with them Monday morning, and then this will be in the afternoon, and we're still waiting some of the details. But it's a big this is a big deal. They want to come and see the trade off of what's going on between the road and what we call Zone 6, which we've talked about on your show before, but that's all the area south of Santa Clara and west of like Bloomington, Green Valley. It's approximately 7,000 acres of highly recreated area. It's, the Zen Trail, the bear, the dwarf bear poppy trail, Stookey Trail, Stookey Springs Trail, and others. The Zen Trail or the Dwarf Bear Poppy Trail alone gets 100,000 cyclists a year.
Really?
I mean, this is a heavily recreated area and has extremely dense tortoise populations. About half of that is privately owned either from the state, SITLA, the county, or private landowners. And when that trade happened for the road, so the road disturbs about 150 acres is all.
Out of 7,000.
And for the 150, we traded 7,000 to be put into permanent protection. Wow. That was the trade-off. Honestly, some would argue maybe even a bad deal for the citizens.
A pretty good deal for them, but not
great
for us.
Great deal for the tourists. And we thought this was a deal that everybody could, I was working with Congress at the time. I wasn't a commissioner. But we thought this was a deal that everybody could claim victory and walk away with their heads held high. Mm-hmm. Environmental groups, people that, conservationists for the tortoise, the recreational groups. Those of us that are trying to worry about how we move people around this county, and it's not just a road that we need to say, why do you care so much? It's just one road. No, it's if you think of Washington County and Ivan, Santa Clara, St. George, over to Washington, Hurricane, we're kind of a big kind of shallow U-shaped, and we've got to be able to get people side to side. And so we've got 6.2 million visitors a year. There's two state parks on one side of that U. There's two state parks and a national park on the other side. That's why people use Red Cliffs Parkway and the Boulevard, because that's how you get side to side and back onto the freeway.
You have to,
So this is just one more route to alleviate that, keep our air clean so people aren't just sitting in traffic idling their cars. and preserve it. We thought this was a wonderful trade. It didn't fit the political narrative of some of the local groups, and so they sued us.
Hmm. By the way, I just got confirmation. Weird that it came during while we were talking about this. Celeste Malloy is going to come on Friday and talk about that meeting and their field hearing. Field hearing, yeah.
Yep.
And that'll be on Friday for 10 or 15 minutes at the start of the show on Friday.
So. Excellent. She has certainly done these before.
Yeah.
She doesn't sit on the committee, but they can allow other members to sit when it's appropriate to their district or their state.
Yeah. So talking with Adam Snow today here on the Andy Griffin Show. We're going to take a little break, Adam, give you a chance to catch your breath. We'll talk a little bit more about the fair and some other happenings in Washington County. Appreciate you coming on today. It's always fun.
I love being on the show. It's a lot of fun.
But Gil's not listening today.
I hope not, because I just threw him under the bus on the candy.
The candy. Double fisting the candy. So, all right. Do want to talk for just a minute about Angelica's Mexican Grill. And as I say that, I got something in my eye. So it's that allergy season when my eyes are super itchy and seemingly all the time. But and if you haven't been to Angelica's Mexican Grill, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Angelica's. And by the way, I'm going to do my little AG approved sound right here. Yeah. Angelica's is AG approved. Now, if you would go over there, just say, look, I've never been here. Andy said to go give it a try. Try the sweet pork. That's a good starter right there. Now, they have other incredible flavors, but if you try the sweet pork, you'd be like, wow, Andy was right. This stuff's amazing. I like the green salsa and some lime juice on my quesadilla or mielita with the sweet pork. And, in my mind, it can't be. There's nothing in this county that tastes as good as that sweet pork with the way I decorate it up. It's Angelica's Mexican Grill. Now, they're located right downtown at 101 East St. George Boulevard, right here in St. George. And all their recipes are authentic Mexican recipes. Now, Angelica, who, by the way, got her citizenship card. She's now an American citizen, but she is from Mexico, and her recipes come right from her mom's and her family's recipe books. It's Angelica's Mexican food. Great food and a great experience at Angelica's Mexican Grill, 101 East St. George Boulevard. Angelica's is AG approved.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
As many of you know, I'm an old saxophone player, and kind of a requisite when you were a young saxophone player is to learn to play this song. It's like the first thing you learn, kind of like Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven on the guitar. This is a song you wanted to learn first, and it is Henry Mancini's birthday. He's passed away, but he would have been 100 years old today, the guy that wrote this song, Pink Panther theme, yeah.
But, you know, better than the notes, you have to be able to get that slide through the note. You know,
yeah.
Drawing them out. That's what makes this song cool.
I didn't pick saxophone, by the way. It picked me over the years. It was one of those things. Like, I started out on clarinet, and that wouldn't fit right. And then I was on bass clarinet, and then I needed a baritone sax player. So I picked that up and ended up learning a little tenor sax. But anyway, I love the saxophone. I love the Pink Panther theme, and I love being here on the radio with Adam Snow. Hi, Adam. Doing all right, man.
Andy, I kind of hope that Victor and Gil don't get to come on sometimes, because I enjoyed coming on doing the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and it's good to have you here. If you have a question, by the way, folks, for Adam, he loves to answer questions. It's 673-5890, 673-5890. That, of course, is a 435 area code. And if you want to text me, I got a couple of texts here. We'll get to those in a minute. The text line is 467-5842. That is my cell phone, and please don't call me on it at 3 o'clock in the morning, because I'm going to be asleep. But you can text me anytime, and I'll usually answer your texts. So, Adam too has been very open with giving out numbers and taking people's texts and talking to people. Tell me about that a little bit. You're kind of your philosophy, Adam, when it comes to dealing with just everyone that has a complaint or has a comment or has a question during your course as county commissioner. Is it bring it all on all the time for you, or do you have some different policies?
Nope, it's bring it on all the time. Okay. Much to the dismay of my wife and children, but you know, I was on the phone. I got home last night. It was an early morning, and I got home last night and was still on the phone with on grazing issues and on road access, actually, to people being able to turn their cows out this summer, and you know, just some ordinances and things that, that we need to take care of to both try and maintain the roads, the fences, the infrastructure that we have that the county runs and owns and maintains, and their ability to operate their businesses and provide for their families. And so we always try and balance that. But honestly, I kind of learned it. You know, Chris Stewart was my boss for many years and, you know, a very powerful and influential man. And he gave his cell phone number out all the time.
Really?
And so I said, you know what? Huh? If he, I think everybody in the second district had his number at one point. And
I know I did.
And he, you certainly did. So yeah, I give it out constantly. It's my own cell number. The only time I direct people to my staff is if it's like, hey, I need to schedule an appointment with you. Look, between me going back and forth and, you know, just call the staff and they'll get you on there. But, and then I usually shoot them a text and say, hey, you're about to get a call from Andy. He wants to come meet and about something, get him in. And, and then they know that, hey, this is, I don't have to check to see if this is somebody that, you know, what the issue might be. The Adam's already talked to him and we're going to sit down so we can look at maps or we can look at, you know, have longer face-to-face time, whatever it might be.
I have to ask you, and this is not a fun thing to ask about, but there are a few people who are a little overzealous, and that's a nice way of putting it. Do you have to sometimes, or what do you have to do sometimes to deal with the person who is a little over the top?
I deal with them anyway.
Do you?
Because I mean this genuinely. I think that's the proper role of government. I think that, you know, even if we're going to disagree, that actually most of the time we're probably going to agree. You may not realize it, but we're going to, even if we're going to disagree, I think that you have the right to petition and complain to your government and try and, you know, get things changed. And honestly, that's the way that we make better policy. Sometimes we can sit in a room and we can discuss things and say, hey, I think this would be a good policy. This is something, you know, that we should do. But you don't realize until somebody calls you and tells you how it affects them, how it affects their family, their business, them personally.
True, yeah.
And you go, oh, man, it's the law of unintended consequences, right? You say, we didn't think that through. I didn't know that that would affect you in this way. And so even if we're going to disagree, yeah, when I give my cell phone out, I know that it's nobody that's going to use it is going to call and say, hey, you're just doing a great job. Thanks. So nobody calls to make those calls, right?
Yeah.
Like any business owner, it's the same thing. Nobody calls to say, thanks, Angelica's, for that delicious burrito yesterday for lunch. They'll think it. They'll think, yeah, that was a wonderful street taco. But and they may tell some friends, but they're not going to call the business just to say thank you.
Their only thank you is they're going to go back again.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think that I met with a group that some of them, we agree on things, and we certainly disagree on a few things. And there was 29 of them, and I went and met for 2.5 hours. This was about 2 weeks ago at a meeting that asked me to come. And
two to 3 hours?
Two and a half hours. And I sat and took shots and answered questions and heard complaints and heard and we covered every issue in the spectrum. And honestly, it was a good event, right? It was a good, I did it expecting to get beat up for a while. And they weren't. They were very respectful. It was productive conversation. I don't think they walked away going, man, we agree 100% of the time. Nobody's going to agree 100% of the time. I love my wife more than anybody in the world. We don't agree 100% of the time. Anybody, especially.
That would be boring if you did.
Kidding. Especially in politics. Anybody who says they agree with you 100% of the time is lying to you. And so, and they'll lie to somebody else as well. So this is, I think that people should be able to call, address your issues. Let's try and make better policy. I have never claimed to have every good idea in the world. So I look to the constituents, the citizens of Washington County, to bring other ideas and solutions, and let's work on it together.
Have you ever had a situation as commissioner where you had one perspective, this is what I think it is, and then people have come in and said, you didn't think about this part of it and maybe changed your mind a little bit. Has that happened?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to think of a good example other than the one that I just mentioned, you know, on the phone last night with some livestock. We were talking about snow removal on Kolob Mountain. We don't plow the road because Kolob gets so much snow and there's so few residents that live there year round because there's no, you know, everybody's on solar panels and wells and, you know, there's not a lot of infrastructure that's up there. And so it's hard to live year round up there. It's the distance. It's, you know, obviously a steep mountain to climb. And so, the county maintains those roads, but they don't plow them all winter long, like we do for Pine Valley, which is lower and just doesn't get quite as much snow. And so, you know, we passed this ordinance, and then, but it also, as part of it, had a weight restriction early in the spring once we do start plowing and the gates are open on the weight limits of trucks, because the water underneath the surface of the asphalt, as that's still melting and kind of sloughing down the mountain, makes it very soft. Even though it's asphalt, you walk on it, you think it's hard. It's not. And you drive a, you know, 100,000-pound truck up there, it's gonna rip up the road and break it up, because there's nothing. It's not hard enough underneath to stop it from cracking.
People don't think about that.
We know that some people think about it. We know that others don't. And so we passed this snow removal ordinance, which was the same thing that had been passed a long time, but it did pull out some of the livestock exemption language that had always been in there. I don't have the histories to know what had been pulled out and what hadn't been pulled out, because I've only been in office 2 years, so I didn't know about that. And I got multiple calls last night from guys saying, look, how am I supposed to go haul cows up there? That's how I provide for my family.
Yeah,
that's my summer range, and I don't have an option. I can't wait until it dries out, because I've got to have them off of my BLM land out on the Arizona Strip. Where am I going to go put 150 cows?
Yeah.
I can't keep them in the backyard. So I drive them from one spot up to the summer range. And so, again, it's one of those things where we start talking, and I can tell you that as soon as I get done with my next meeting, we're going to go down and have a conversation about how we can balance that out. What can we do to allow them to continue to operate the way they need to? It's not really an option for them, and still protect our infrastructure and what, you know, those solutions. But that would just be one that, yeah, I thought, hey, it's snow removal. This is a pretty easy one. Then you realize that there's a few people that are heavily impacted, and what can we do to help them out?
And you can't do a cattle drive like the old days up you know, across the freeway.
Not so much.
Like it used to.
The Park Service also, you have to cross part of their land. They frown upon those cattle drives now, so through Zion National Park.
With all due respect to City Slickers and Billy Crystal, right?
Remember exactly.
That was good stuff. So many, like you said, unintended consequences. You know, the analogy I have in my head, what I think about, if you take a drug to treat some kind of problem, there's usually a side effect. And that's how it is with these bills that you're talking about. We've got this problem. We pass a bill, or we do a policy, or whatever, we address a problem, and then there's a side effect. There's an, as you said, unintended consequence.
Yep. You know, and we've got 20 plus departments in the county, from law enforcement and public safety, you know, departments and offices, the recorder, the assessor, the county clerk, the auditor, you know, we've got the justice court, lots of things that we deal with. And yeah, sometimes even within policies, we think, hey, this is going to work. Well, with 500 employees and 20 departments, all of a sudden, maybe the solution you thought you had doesn't fit all of those. So it takes some massaging, and
yeah,
we try and do the best we can.
The county fair is going on right now. Tomorrow, not today. Tomorrow I'm going to give away. I have two tickets to Tracy Byrd concert with Little Texas. That's at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I'm going to give these away tomorrow. So don't call now and say I want those tickets. Not giving them away yet, but yeah, Susie supplied me with a couple of tickets to Tracy Byrd in Little Texas tomorrow night at the Washington County Fair Legacy Fair Park. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Little tribute to the '90s country.
Yeah,
Tracy Byrd.
He's got some great hits. This is going to be good.
Watermelon Crawl is one of them. I love that song.
Got a military appreciation event tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's
Modern
6.
Warriors. Yeah,
there's so many cool things. Susie does an amazing job. Her and her staff, man. I think she is going to sleep really well Saturday night.
I had her on. Was it yesterday? Anyway, just in early in the show, like at 8:20, the other day, and she looked like a person who had been under major stress, and she has been, because this is her baby, and then. You know, the fair is over. And now they do other things at Legacy Fair Park, too. She's in charge of, you know, there's some different, I don't know, farmer's market type things or whatever. But this is a big one for her. Yeah. And I could tell she was, at this point, it's almost too late to do anything now. I mean, you have to, you know, you set stuff up months and months, yeah. Years even in advance. And so it's almost too late to do anything now. But you could tell she was stressed out. She just wanted everything to go according to plan.
Yeah, and the poor girl, she also got sick a couple weeks ago. So
yeah.
Her voice, if you had her on the radio, you must have turned that mic up way high.
Cause she had, what was it?
RSV.
RSV, yeah, she had RSV. So
she's feeling better. She just doesn't sound great.
It was right at the tail end. So she was doing okay. She was doing okay. She sounded good on the radio. She actually went down to the country station down the hall here and then over onto my station, and we talked about the fair. And it's just crazy. I think it was Friday I had her on, but because it was right before the fair opened. So Friday it was open at 4, Saturday's open all day. All week long until Friday, it's 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and then on Saturday, it's 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yep.
So, yeah, go down and check out the fair. Tomorrow I'm going to hand out tickets to Tracy Byrd, and then later this week, Friday, I've got tickets for the Demolition Derby. Yeah, that's like, that ain't cheap, you know. That's like $40 a ticket or something, and we're going to give away 2 tickets to the Demolition Derby. And the weather's supposed to be fantastic.
It should be. Everybody should get out there. The Demolition Derby is fun, too. I mean, who doesn't want to see cars just smash into each other?
Yeah. I remember years ago, it had rained and rained and rained all day of the Demolition Derby. And you would think, oh, that's really fun because mud bog. And it was kind of fun for that reason. But with so much mud, the cars couldn't get going very fast. And so they were spraying mud into the crowd, and that was a lot of fun. But then when they hit each other, it just wasn't very big impact. A little
fender bender.
So, yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More with Adam Snow when we come back. He mentioned Chris Stewart. He was a longtime assistant for Chris. Maybe you can give us an update on what's up with Chris. Haven't heard from him in a while. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. A correction on the Celeste Malloy. She'll be on Thursday for a few minutes, about 10 or 15 minutes to start a show on Thursday, and then the rest of the show will be one daily as they get ready for Cotton Days in Washington City. It's 9:50 on KDXU. Adam Snow, County Commissioner, is with me today. Can you give us an update, Adam, on Chris Stewart? I think a lot of us who became friends with Chris over the years wonder what he's up to nowadays.
Yeah. Chris is a man I respect immeasurably. He's a wonderful human being and just one of the most genuine people ever. And because of that, a lot of people know, but some may not, that his wife got sick. He's been pretty public about this now. She suffered a pretty major stroke, and the doctor said to wait for a while and see. You know, some people rebound pretty well and others don't, and so give it some time. And she still has enough lasting effects after giving it that time that he said my first and foremost priority is to her. And so I'm
good for him.
She needs my help, and so I'm going to step down at this time. And he didn't want to. He was, you know, in line to be the next chair of the National Intelligence Committee, and so he it was a tough decision, but really not that tough. You know, this is something temporal. She's eternal for him. So, so he stepped down but is still young enough and has just a wealth of experience that very few people in the world have as far in national security. His time as an Air Force bomber pilot and then the National Intelligence Committee or the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence in the House and everything that he had done, that way made him a valuable resource. And so, he has been doing consulting. He partnered with Robert O'Brien, who was President Trump's national security advisor and ambassador to the UN before that, actually has a lot of Utah ties. His daughter goes to school here, and although he's originally from California, but religious and other ties to Utah. And so he and Chris have gone working together, just advising people on national security issues. But it allows Chris to work from home, be there for his wife, minimal travel. You know, he doesn't have the demands of working in Congress and all of that it entailed. You know, he spent a lot of time, when most people don't realize, you know, Congress goes on recess. Chris went on work. You know, he was over in those really plush areas like Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know, working for Congress, and but it was hard when you're taking votes. That was the only time is when everybody else goes on recess. That's when he got to go do the important travel that he needed to do. So it really kept him away from her for a long time. So this allows him to still be involved, still use that expertise and not just waste it, but also take care of her, and he's loving life right now. Yeah, I talked to him not that long ago. He was skiing and said they were actually both up in the snow, and he goes, "Oh man, I remember what life was like before Congress. This is wonderful."
That's awesome.
So he's doing well.
It actually, you know, brings up a really good topic in, on priorities, and you know, I had Christy Pike on yesterday talking about the kids that do well, that are resilient, that bounce back after being abused, are the ones that have a purpose and a reason for you know, even if it's, you know, my team needs me or whatever it is, and so. We get so caught up in politics and in the big picture that sometimes we need to take a step back, like Chris had to do, and say, "What's really, really important in the eternities, in my soul, in my life?" I think some people wanted to criticize him and say, "Hey, you're turning your back on your country, and hey, we need you, and you should do this." But I, for one, and I know you feel the same way, I really respect the decision that he made. I wonder if I'm a good enough man to make that same, you know, if it came down to me and that decision. I think I would make the same decision, but who knows? And hopefully we'll maybe not have to find out in that situation. But what a great thing to do. And it's kind of put your money where your mouth is kind of situation.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that I hope, actually, instead of people criticizing, I hope it gives people some hope and some you know, maybe the world's not as horrible and jaded as we all think it is. Because people complain all the time. And I think, unfortunately, most of the time it is true. I know many members of Congress, right? And you just get addicted to the power. You get addicted to the prestige that, you know, everywhere you go, somebody's, you know, kissing and
everybody wants to buy you dinner,
falling down for you, you know. And that, honestly, in some ways that is true. When you're out here, when you're back in D.C., honestly, you're just one of 535 people, and who cares, right? Yeah. I mean, you pass them, and they're just normal people. But to say, you know, you only do it for the power, well, he can stand there with a straight face and say, no, I didn't. I gave up the power for my wife.
I don't know if you are friends with, know Mike Johnson very well. I had the opportunity to have him on the show the other day, and in doing research on Mike Johnson, learning more about him before the interview, I was like, that's a good guy, you know, and I think we forget that sometimes, that some of these, not all of them, but most of these people are really good people who want to make a difference.
Yep. And I think this is important for all of your listeners to remember, is that at the federal, the state, the local, you know, county, or even down to the municipal level, we say, you know, we need good people in Congress. We need good people in elected office. We just need a good man. And we do, right? We need a good men and women that can serve, that are in it for the right reasons. But unfortunately, we can't make an entire line change in one election, right? We can't wipe everybody out. Only a third of the Senate is up every 2 years, right? All of the House of Representatives is up every 2 years. The governor's only up every four. The, you know, House of Representatives, or the Senate in the state, is up every four. So it takes time, right? Yeah. And so there are genuine patriots that serve in public office, and they get tarnished. You know, a few bad apples can spoil the bunch, and you get tarnished. And on both sides of the aisle, there are horrible people that serve that are in it for the wrong reason. They are in it for a power grab, and I could go down a list of people that most of us know.
I can think
a lot of those names.
Yeah.
But that, you can't say that they're all that way. And probably the most common thing I heard when I did work on the Hill is when people say, "Oh, I hate, you know, we need to get rid of every member of Congress." What do you think about your guy? "Oh, no, like him. Good guy." Okay, so we should keep him.
Everybody her, right? except him, yeah.
Everybody else. So the other 534 we should get rid of. Okay, but unfortunately, we do know. I don't know Mike Johnson. He's one of them that I've never had the opportunity to cross. Bruce Westerman, who's chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee, a good, honest, sincere man who's trying to do his best and fighting an uphill battle. Mike Johnson, from what I hear, is a good, now you may not agree with every decision. I'm not saying I agree with every decision he's made, but he is a good Christian, devout man who is trying his best in what is probably the hardest job in the entire world right now, is being the Speaker of the House with a one vote majority.
Slimmest vote in history, or slimmest majority in history.
Good luck trying to keep that intact. So he's doing an impossible job the best he can. Again, I'm not going to say I agree with everything or that I would do everything the same way, but I'm not going to fault him for trying his best.
Yeah, I agree. I agree exactly what you said. He doesn't maybe necessarily vote the exact same way I would vote, but I know that his heart is in the right place and he's trying very hard to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And we need, you know, more of that. Like you said, there are some people in Congress that are just like, really?
Yeah.
You know, certain congresswoman from Minnesota. Anyway, but yeah, I think people need to understand that most of the people in there, and we'll go right down to the local level, the county and in the city, are trying to make a positive, you know,
yep,
difference. These are good people who have good intentions, and sometimes, like you say, you're on the phone with the cattle guy, you know, the cattle owner, said, I didn't realize this. Let's talk about this and work it out. And there was nothing nefarious in your motives. You were trying to solve a problem.
It's far too easy, and it's probably one of my biggest complaints, and I talk about this as often as I can, but it's far too easy and just intellectually lazy to just say, to attribute nefarious, malicious motives to anybody who's in elected office.
Yeah.
And say, you know, again, I
like
it.
Intellectually lazy. I like that. Yeah.
I think I mentioned on this show once before, but it took me 24 hours to be called a Gadianton robber when I got elected. And in my religion, that means something, right? Yeah. And so.
That means you're devious and slimy.
Yeah, you're just the worst of the worst, right? But they really are just trying to do the best they can. And nobody does it. Nobody, especially at the local level and even at the state, Senate, and House. Nobody does this for the power. There's no power involved. No. Nobody cares. We're just trying to do the right thing.
With, unfortunately, we used it up, Adam. We used up our time.
Oh, so, man. Well, I'll see you in a couple months.
Yeah. Love having Adam Snow on. Appreciate y'all listening today. And, Adam, I know you're motivated by the right thing, trying to do the right thing.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you serving, man. We'll be back tomorrow. Let's see. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Oh, we've got the Chamber of Commerce guy coming in. We've got the Modern Warrior guy coming in. Join us then on the show. Thanks for listening.